But today I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions, the ones that we do keep and the ones that we don't. I want to talk about a covenant. There's a difference. A resolution is something that we carry out by our own resolve. A covenant is an agreement. And in scripture, we have lots of examples of a God that makes covenants with his people. And in the Bible, that covenant, those covenants were always a sign and a promise of God's faithfulness to humanity. Starting with Noah and his family, with a covenant sealed with a rainbow. And then later on with Abraham, a covenant with Abraham's descendants, where God promised to be their God, and that it would be through them that God would bring salvation to the entire world. And of course, the covenant of faithfulness, when God sends Jesus to be the saviour of the world, who dies and rises again to save us from the cost of sin, to forgive us, and to gain eternal life for us. A covenant of the cross, again showing God's faithfulness. Covenant in the Bible is always about faithfulness, much like the covenant of marriage is hoped to be. Today I'd like to talk about another covenant about faithfulness. And it's a prayer from the Methodist tradition. I have it in the front of my Bible, and every time I read it, it convicts me and it really challenges me in a way that no New Year's resolution ever would or could. In the Methodist tradition, the prayer that I'm about to share is held very dear. It's a challenge from John Wesley, going all the way back to 1755. And it's a challenge to discipleship, a challenge to surrender all that we have and all that we are and our very lives to God. And that's what I want to talk about today. And when I read it to you, you will understand why it challenges me. And it probably will challenge you too. It's going to come up on the screen now. Let me read it to you. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O gracious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Now, if we were in a Methodist church, this would be part of our annual commitment to discipleship, probably in the modern language. And I think that's a good way to start a new year, because those words lived out, not just said, I think are spiritual dynamite. Jesus was always calling people to follow him, always asking and expecting ordinary people, women and men, to live lives of surrender and discipleship, to live lives that follow him. Let me remind you of some words from Matthew's gospel. They'll come up on the screen from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. Jesus' call is very straightforward. Come, follow me. Come, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. That was their call, and that's our call as well. When we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we take on that call to be ours, to be a disciple, to place our lives in Jesus's hands. To be a disciple, and a disciple's job is to follow and to fish. Disciples make disciples. We're not fisher people. Well, I don't see any of you out on the marine lake fishing very often. That might mean something very different now. It might mean inviting folk that we know on the Alpha course that we're going to be running online in a couple of weeks' time. It means using every opportunity, every conversation that we have to share our faith in ways that are real and authentic to us. It means following Jesus and doing what he asks us to do and being who he calls us to be. So today I want us to look at some of the lines of this prayer, not all of it, we won't have time for that. And as we look at these lines, I want you to be thinking, what does this look like in my life? Here and now, in lockdown three, with whatever you have on your plate at the moment, how am I following Jesus? How am I being a disciple? And these words from the Methodist Covenant Prayer may help us and may challenge us to think afresh this new year. So the first one we're looking at, I am no longer my own, but yours. And I think that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? Becoming a Christian has always been about letting Jesus have control of our lives. Letting him take the driving wheel, as it were, and not continually being a backseat driver. Paul tells me I am an awful backseat driver. That's what you do when you are a passenger. You put your trust in the one who is driving. You shouldn't have to comment, shouldn't you be using your indicators by now? Or have you seen the speed limit? All of which I do, bad wife. When we become Christians, we put our trust and our surrender into the hands of Jesus Christ. And we say, will you lead? And we will follow. But that's hard. And there's a classic illustration of this, which Peter will put on the screen. Basically, who is in the driving seat of your life? When we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, we are confronted with the decision of giving up the throne of our lives, the driving seat, to Jesus. And those who have said their yes to that have a lifelong journey of keeping that covenant, that yes, and allowing and reallowing Jesus to be in charge, prizing our own fingers away from the steering wheel, and again, repeatedly, allowing Jesus to be in charge. Jesus models the words, I am no longer my own but yours, in everything he did, in prayer, in daily activity, in his ministry, and to death on a cross. He modelled those words, I am no longer my own but yours, in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays, not my will but yours, Father. A decision to submit to the will of the Father God. We are to follow that lead as his people. People who want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Can you say, I am no longer my own, but yours? Can you reaffirm that today? Is it true for you? Is it a daily discipleship and discipline for you? The rest of the covenant prayer is essentially fleshing out the implications of I am no longer my own, but yours. Expressing just how far that's true. The next line is this, put me to what you will. Put me to what you will. Now, that gives God permission to instruct us how we spend our lives. And that's what we mean when we say, put me to what you will. What do you want me to do with my day, with my life? Who do you want me to speak to? How do you want me to behave? What do I do with the blessings that you have given me? With what's in my bank account? With how I spend my money? With what I do with my gifts and my time and my talents? Who do you want me to bless? And then we listen. And then we do it. Now, if I'm honest, I know that my life isn't always like that. I don't always spend my day going, what do you want me to do, Lord? I just do whatever I'm going to do. But I want to walk more closely with Jesus. And I hope that you would too. That's the point of daily discipleship. The everyday putting Jesus in charge. Put me to what you will. That is an act of surrender, isn't it? Where would God want you to be or go? What would be different in your life if you lived out that prayer of obedience? I think this is really challenging stuff. Much more than a New Year's resolution that we'll forget about. The next in the prayer is rank me with who you will. Rank me with who you will. Now, I think that's a real test of commitment. I mean, following Jesus is tough enough already, but now we have to follow him alongside other people. Crumbs. You know the saying, if you want a job doing, do it yourself. Because sometimes that's true. But we're not meant to be following alone. Following alongside others has always been the point. We are church together. And sometimes when we rub up against one another in community, we reveal parts of ourselves that are tricky. We discover people with different opinions and different beliefs and different lifestyles and people with different sin to ours, and they discover sin in you. God has designed us as social creatures. And that's essentially why this past year has been so hard for many of us. The lack of human connection, real connection, is hard because we are meant to be together. Rank me, place me with who you see fit, God, is the prayer. Whomever you decide I need to work with in order for you to accomplish your purposes, then I trust that. I trust your wisdom, and I will work alongside whoever you place alongside me. So we are God's, available for God to use alongside the people he places on our journey with us. This is an action prayer. Put me to doing, John Wesley says. And that's the heart of discipleship, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to do what we sense Jesus is wanting to do through us. It's not just the classic question, what would Jesus do? But actually going deeper and asking, what does Jesus want to do through me right here and right now to accomplish his kingdom purposes? What are you here for? Through the Holy Spirit's leading and nudging, I wonder what the answer would be for you. Only you know what life looks like at the moment. But have you asked what God is saying to you? What is he calling you to? What is he challenging you with? And this covenant prayer commitment is a commitment to Jesus that we will keep our eyes and our ears open to sense what the Holy Spirit is saying and wanting to do in the world around us, to sense how he wants to accomplish what he wants to accomplish through us, and then to actively do what he is calling us to do. The last point that we're going to look at today goes alongside the put me to doing. It says, put me to suffering. Well, that sounds like a barrel of laughs, doesn't it? And we certainly know a little bit about that at the moment, some more than others. Remember, this prayer has its origins with John Wesley and the Puritan movement before that in the 1700s. And so when we hear the word suffering with our modern ears, we may balk a little, because we don't want to be put to suffering. Of course we don't. Who would want to do that? That would be daft. The word suffer has a different meaning in Old English. Remember, if you're a King James Version reader of the Bible, Jesus' words to his disciples who were trying to keep the children away from him, he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. That doesn't mean batter the little children. It means something very different. It means allow them to come. So when we say, put me to suffering, we're not saying, bring it on, Lord. We're not saying we're inviting suffering. What we are saying, though, is we are inviting God to allow any consequences of our discipleship. And we are trusting God, no matter what. Now, you can't be a disciple of Jesus and not realize that the Jesus we follow, his life ended on a cross. He did not say, I will follow your word, your way, Father God, and then stop just before the point where it got hard. A prayer that says, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, as long as it's okay and pretty and free from anything that remotely looks hard, is no prayer at all. Put me to doing, and put me to whatever consequences may come from that doing. I will follow you. I think that prayer is a challenge because it's a prayer of faith and trust in the character of God. That we trust God's sovereign plan, even when we don't know what that will look like. Even in dark times, when we can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, do we still trust God? It's a challenge, isn't it? Our trust in hard times. And this prayer challenges us to put our trust into the one who is faithful. We could spend weeks looking at this prayer. If we were a Methodist church, we may well do that, but we're not. What I'd like to encourage you to do is to find a copy of this on the internet, to print the words out, and to spend some time with it. To place it in your Bible, maybe, or in the front of your diary. For those of you who have a paper diary, I applaud you. And perhaps revisit it this week. Perhaps rewrite it in words that are meaningful to you. I pray that we are a people who are surrendered to the ways of God and to his plans and his purposes for us. I want to be that person. Do you? And I'd like to invite you to pause and pray it with me if you feel able to do so. And after that, we'll sing together. So if you feel able to do so, let's pray together. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And let the covenant which I made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.